And welcome back to Studio CPO. This is Stephen Buck, President and CEO of Care Providers Oklahoma. We always focus on having interesting guests who not only have context within long-term care, but also have context and service to their community, service to their state, just interesting people at large. And I am thrilled today to be joined by a former colleague and a good friend, Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell. Matt, welcome aboard.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for asking me to do this. And I still count you as a colleague as well. So just know that. Not, you know, yes, we probably worked closer together back in the day, but it's great to do this and great to still work with you.
Well, I will acknowledge for our audience that there are a lot of formal roles that go with being Lieutenant Governor, but you and I had the opportunity to work in very closely together in the serving the human space,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Where people are struggling and where they need empathy and help. And
that's
you
right.
were always quick to answer that call. Yeah. So,
well, thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
You bet. So many people know the politician, Matt Pinnell. They know the guy who's been on the ballot. You're one of our state's biggest cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole lot to Matt and the Matt Pinnell family than what we may see in 30-second sound bites.
Yeah.
Tell our audience a little bit about you.
Well, I'm a husband and a father. Those are my two biggest roles. Four kiddos. So a senior in high school who's off to the University of Oklahoma next year. I've got a freshman in high school, fifth grader, and a second grader. So we are in the thick of it, is what we tell folks.
There's a lot of tuition in the future, by the way.
There's a lot of tuition in the future. That's right.
Yeah.
But we love it. But certainly, yes, we're in the thick of it. And my wife, Lisa, who is just a rock star, she not only is she been raising these four kiddos with me, but she's a small business owner, inventor. She invented some baby products and runs her own business in Northeast Oklahoma, ships her products all over the world. So very proud of her. That's a kind of a fun, interesting part of our story. But we both went to Oral Roberts University, went out to D.C. for a few years, came home to start raising our family, and kind of the rest is history. But those are my two biggest roles. Yes, as Lieutenant Governor, it's a second highest constitutional office holder in the state of Oklahoma, but what comes above that, and I'm not just saying it, is being a husband and a father. And, but honestly, that's one of the reasons we ran for office is, you know, we, on being an entrepreneur and being a small business owner, you know, we wanted someone to continue to be the small business advocate for the state. Todd Lamb served in that role for Mary Fallon. And so that's been really cool to be able to continue to advocate for small business owners and entrepreneurship around the state of Oklahoma.
Now, I will say that you are one of the most authentic people I've had a chance to have in my universe, and I've always appreciated your authenticity. And yeah, I will say this: you truly love Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you go out on the road I remember very early in your tenure, we're talking about toilets because you wanted us to have the best toilets
that's
in the country, right?
So
talk a little bit about your love for Oklahoma. What is it you love about serving and living here?
Well, again, I mean, go back to my kids, and I think anybody listening to this, I mean, you want your kids or grandkids to be able to at least have an opportunity to stay in Oklahoma, to find a job here and raise their own families here. And so that drives me, certainly. I mean, that's a big part of it is I'm raising four kids in Oklahoma. I was a sales and marketing major. So my background, if I wasn't Lieutenant Governor, I'd probably be running an advertising shop right now. And so there's a part of me that gets pretty territorial, fired up when I see other states bragging on themselves and Oklahoma just not doing a good enough job about bragging about what we do well. And obviously that state to the south of us is very good at bragging. Maybe you could argue we're a little bit more humble here in Oklahoma, or it's the little brother syndrome time to time. Whatever it is, it could be a combination of both. We should be talking about what we do well here because there's a net migration to the middle of the country right now that is absolutely happening. And if we don't capture those people, then they're going to go somewhere else. And, and a lot of times now it's not Texas, it's Iowa, it's Kansas, it's Arkansas. And so that's what drives me.
Yeah, I should give some context to the toilet statement.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's probably right.
Yeah, I mean, I need to clean that up, but no pun intended on toilets, right?
Yes.
But I mean, I think what your message was is that first impressions matter.
First impressions matter.
And getting the little stuff right, it matters.
It does. We fixed all the welcome centers around the state of Oklahoma. That was a project of mine. We installed new restrooms in those welcome centers and new restrooms in all of our state parks around the state of Oklahoma. So people jokingly kind of called me the public restroom czar of the state of Oklahoma. And I'm just fine with that title because that really leads to the leadership part of your podcast. I mean, servant leadership is what it's about in my life. You got to put servant in front of the word leader.
So at the time of this recording, this will likely air after this event, but it is almost unfathomable to think that Oklahoma is going to be the epicenter of the upcoming eclipse.
Yes.
That a small, two decades ago, sleepy part of our state, A, has turned into a tourism mecca.
That's right.
But B, is ground zero. I mean, talk a little bit about the tourism economy in this state.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've done over the last 5 years. And you know, I was the Secretary of Tourism my first 4 years, and tourism was a juggernaut for Oklahoma well before I got there, with our Native American heritage and history and cowboy culture that we have. Oklahoma is a very authentic tourism state. But certainly we've done more to really double down on that and to focus on all the authentic American experiences that you can get here, really focused on state parks as well. But Hochatown in southeastern Oklahoma is a great example of this. I mean, it was nothing 15, 20 years ago, other than a two-lane highway and a bunch of dirt roads and a really, really great national forest. It's one of the more beautiful places in the entire country. And it's a good example of a town that invested in themselves. They knew they had something. And when you invest in yourself, you can become something pretty special. I think it's the next Branson. I truly believe that. Now, there's a lot of locals that don't want it to be the next Branson. There's some growing pains that are happening down there. But the sales tax that's being created down in southeastern Oklahoma is unbelievable. And that helps, again, pay for police and fire departments and everything else that we need to pay for. But tourism is the third largest industry in our state. And it attracts people to Oklahoma that have never seen Oklahoma. It changes perceptions that people have of Oklahoma. And then people want to move here. And become a taxpayer in Oklahoma. And we love when we have those kind of stories.
How is the fishing trail? I have to ask. Yeah. How's the fishing trail going? Because I think that was one of your...
It was. Yeah. We launched... I created the Oklahoma Fishing Trail year one in office. It has generated well over $40 million in revenue for the state of Oklahoma, which is unbelievable. Just telling people to come to Oklahoma and go fishing. And that means they're booking hotel rooms and being in our restaurants. But again, it's a core strength of our state. We have more man-made lakes than any other state in the country. So we probably should talk about it. And when we do, a whole lot of people show up.
Yeah.
And it's been another good reminder of when we play to our strengths, we can create a whole lot of revenue for the state.
You know, I will do a quick add-on to that. It always surprises me, even when I'm talking to lifelong Oklahomans, and we'll talk about our love of trout fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Many people don't realize that we have a naturally reproducing world-class trout fishing habitat in southeast Oklahoma.
That's right. It's as good as trout fishing as you'll find in New Mexico or Colorado, truthfully. And I mean, just look at the pictures to prove it. I mean, it is, and it's just as pretty.
Absolutely.
So go check it out.
Yeah. Lots of things to do in the state. So I think I would be remiss if I didn't do this because you trained me so well. When you need a quick getaway, get away to Oklahoma and not out of state, right?
Amen to that.
That's the key.
That's right. That's right. Do one more staycation here. Yeah.
Here it is. Hey, let's talk a little bit about leadership because you have had the opportunity as your career has progressed to serve in some pretty significant leadership windows. And you've been very fortunate in that regard. Yeah. And along the way, there's been some luck along the way.
Sure.
But it's also required a lot of skill.
Yeah.
Give me some perspectives on those leadership traits that you use as your bedrock principles.
Sure.
As you said, I mean, you have difficult tasks you have to wrestle.
Yeah. I mentioned one of them. I mean, servant leadership, you know, when you say leader, I mean, a lot of people say, okay, well, I'm leading something, which means I'm dictating to other people what to do. Sometimes, yes, there is some of that. There are some charge the hill moments and you want people following you. But a lot of leadership inside of this building or in public service is being a servant first and finding places where you can serve others. because then you will have people running up the hill with you when you do have that charge the hill moment. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that. Humility, kindness, I think those are qualities that get lost when it comes to leadership as well. Again, you see the movies, you know, with these strong leaders, whether in a Napoleon or a Alexander the Great. Yeah, they were leaders, but they were also charged the hill type of leaders. And I think in this culture that we're in today, it's a in 2024, I do think you need leaders that serve first. I think you can build a much bigger coalition that way. And we've seen that. We've seen that over the last few years. You need to know what your true north is, yes. People want leaders that have principles and stand on their convictions. But I don't gravitate towards leaders that that lead with an arrogance or bully tactics. And sometimes politicians do that. They just do. That shouldn't shock anybody listening to this. But you don't get a lot of things done that way either.
So one place that you are exerting leadership is in the area of workforce development. Yeah. You have made it a cornerstone of the approach for the last few months in the foreseeable future. Yeah. It won't surprise you. You and I have had this conversation. You visited a couple of our facilities. Yep. Healthcare workforce is a significant challenge for Oklahoma. What can we collectively do in the workforce space to meet the needs of our citizens now and those in the future?
Well, it's everything, Steve. I mean, if we're going to keep people in the state, recruit companies to the state, you have to have a workforce. So, you know, the chicken and the egg, it's workforce, workforce, workforce. And, you know, our labor participation rate is hovering between 62-63%, which isn't great. We need to get that over 65%. So it's really a two-pronged approach. You know, how many people in Oklahoma could we get to work? Why are they staying at home versus getting out to work? And then, yes, what companies in Oklahoma can't find people, even getting them off out of their house, and needing to pull in young, new talent into the state of Oklahoma. So I have started a workforce tour going around the state of Oklahoma and going directly to the source. So I'm going to small business owners. And what's interesting though, something that I'm proud of, I'm bringing DHS with me. I'm bringing our Oklahoma Works offices with me. So we're sitting around a round table with a small business owner or a university president in the Chamber of Commerce, and it may be the first time they're meeting someone from DHS that licenses all their child care centers. Or it may be the first time that they're meeting their Oklahoma Works office where you file for unemployment. But it's not just filing for unemployment. It's veterans reentry services that they have there. It's interview coaching. Mm-hmm. And it's connecting the dots for communities. And it has been very eye-opening to listen to the feedback that they have, a lot of it on the infrastructure side of things. You know, you can talk about affordable housing, you can talk about childcare, you can certainly talk about healthcare, the healthcare workforce. That's one of the things that keeps me up at night. It is. Because if you want to see a town die, you get rid of their hospital. You get rid of their access to healthcare.
Or their nursing home in many cases.
Well, and again, when I say hospital, I'm thinking nursing homes as well. Healthcare overall. Mm-hmm. You get rid of a nursing home, you get rid of a crisis care center, you kill a town real quick. And so I'm going, again, directly to those sources. What would help? What's a tangible thing that the state is doing or not doing that is prohibiting you from hiring somebody? And so we're 2 months into this tour. We are collecting all of this feedback. We're going to turn it into a report that we are going to give to our workforce commission, because that's the other development in the state of Oklahoma that I think will be helpful, is now you have an entity in the state that owns workforce, that actually owns workforce. We all talk about it, but no one owns it. Well, this workforce commission is going to own it. And then these are private, individuals that are coming out of the private sector to just donate their time to look at best practices. What's Arkansas doing that maybe we should be doing when it comes to healthcare or nursing home services for that matter? And I hope it turns into good legislation that we can advocate for in the future.
I really appreciate that as somebody who works in a field that has been challenged coming from the pandemic and then just historically challenged in the workforce. And it's important.
It is important. And it, for sure with your industry and when it comes to nursing homes, the federal mandates, right? The federal mandates that come on down from on high into states obviously is the other big piece in your industry. You know, you have some industries where there aren't federal mandates, and if there's no federal mandates, that means it's on us as a state to fix those rules and regulations. We're well aware that there are many things that are coming down from the from a federal government, no matter who the president is, from time to time, that affects again nursing home industry, and we certainly push back when we need to push back, and listen, we should support. Programs and appropriations when it is appropriate, but right now certainly we are giving feedback to a lot of these federal mandates that is going to really hurt states.
Well, I would just comment for our listeners from the very few first days after the Biden administration introduced their minimum staffing rule. Lieutenant Governor Pinnell has been very attentive to that. And thank you for the action taken through the Lieutenant Governors Association, through your advocacy, both in our executive branch with the legislature. It's been greatly appreciated.
Well, thank you. And we will continue to be engaged there because, again, I mean, that again, workforce. And again, that's a big lift. It's hard to wrap your arms around because every industry is different. I mean, oil and gas industry, they have different different issues and different barriers to growth than managed care system and our nursing home industry. But we will be engaged in every one of those areas.
I've got two more for you. Yeah. I know you're busy, but the first one is one that I am particularly interested in. So it it may cut a little bit as I ask the question, but you kind of alluded it to you early. There is politics that John Q. Public sees happening, and politics to them are press releases, their social media posts, their what's happening in national presidential races, and it can get very noisy. It can get very noisy. And I think dissenting opinions are great. I think that's how we get better, is people with different perspectives talking through. But some of the current business of campaigns make dissenting opinions just yelling at each other and not talking. I think your workforce tour is a way that you're trying to influence real local conversations about how we collectively get better.
That's right.
How do we do that in our communities so that the noise of elections, which are necessary, I'm glad we have a process that allows us to compete for people's opinions, but at some level, we have to talk and we have to solve. Yeah. How can we separate the noise from really constructive solution seeking?
You know, I mean, some of it, again, let's not overcomplicate it. As you said, it is communication. It's communication 101. You know, that don't be a keyboard warrior. Actually sit down and try to fix those issues and those problems. And again, it's tougher today in this culture where, you know, you have consultants now in this country that are hired by companies to teach younger generations actually how to use a telephone.
Yes.
Because they're not on telephones. They don't use email that much. It's a texting world. So communication already is strained. And we're going to have to return, I hope, and pray into a world where we're actually looking at somebody face to face and trying to see why they believe something. Or not even that, just sitting down and tackling an issue. And I've seen, listen, it does work. It works when you can actually get to that level and have a listening tour or a round table conversation. Take those notes and try to turn it into legislation. And I will say, too, for those listeners, this building is tough at times. I mean, it's not all rainbows and unicorns. Right. But Republicans and Democrats, I see a lot of interaction and a lot of collaboration inside of this building with Republicans and Democrats and rural and urban legislators as well, which makes me optimistic for the future. Again, there's things that frustrate me, of course. I think that's more with the consultant world that we have. That's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. But it's 24/7, 365, and you have a lot of people making a lot of money as professional consultants today. that it's very black and white to them. Mm-hmm. And to win, you have to do this, you know, candidate A, and if you don't do this, you're going to lose. Well, they're paid to tell candidates that, but it also gets very divisive because of it. And, you know, politics has always been pretty brutal. I think it's worse today than maybe it's ever been, but I'm not going to make excuses about it. I'm just going to try to make it better.
Sure. You know, you were mentioning the younger generation. I won't ask you to politicize this statement, but I saw a data point the other day that there are more searches for the 18 to 24-year-old, more searches conducted on TikTok than there are on Google.
Yeah.
And so that just gives you a sense of this dynamic we're living in.
That is the dynamic we're living in. That's the world we're living in today. And it's and you know, with AI technology, it's advancing so rapidly. It's very difficult to keep up. Very difficult to keep up. So it's encouraging in some ways. I mean, I think we're that those younger generations are entering a completely different world, and they have every resource at their fingertips. But what are we going to do with it? Right. Are we going to use it for good or bad?
Right. All right. Here's your final question.
Yeah.
You've lived a lot of life. You're still a young person, but you've lived a lot of life through those years. What do you now know that you wish 21-year-old Matt Pinnell knew?
Well, I think it is taking advice from those that came before you. You know, that listening to your elders, you know, listen to your parents, right?
I've
listened to my parents, but I think I was involved in politics young, right? And so I blazed my own trail. But I look back, even just advice that, you know, whether it be former Lieutenant Governor Todd Lamb gave me on, you know, when I was coming in and he was going out or other, I laugh at times some of the advice that legislators that came before me gave, because it's just proven to be so true time and time again. And I think it is slowing down a little bit for all of us, whether you're young or old, and listening to those that have had some life experiences that maybe you're about to enter into. So, I mean, if as a 21-year-old, it would be listening to someone that was 41.
Yeah.
51, 61. It's why elders in church exist. Mm-hmm. And I hope we don't lose that. And I hope we have younger generations that, don't think they know it all. And that stop for a half second and listen to the advice of those that have been through it, that have failed a time or two. You know, Matthew McConaughey's book, you know, Green Light, you know, we need yellow lights. We need red lights, because those failures and those pauses in life are going to help you be more successful.
Well, Matt, it has been terrific to visit with you. I can say this in all confidence and for our listeners, Matt and I could have had this conversation over the lunch table eating a Oklahoma chicken fried steak,
It
would have been just as deep as that conversation
that's
was.
Right.
So, Matt, appreciate your service to the state.
Awesome.
Appreciate your friendship.
Appreciate yours. Thank you so much for this. This is great.
You bet. This is Stephen Buck signing off with Studio CPO.